time once again for Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down and review one comic. This week, let's see, we are reviewing a comic book of sorts.
A book of comics.
This week it's Tomb Raider, number one, Season of the Witch. Script by Gail Simone, pencils by Nicholas Daniel Selma, inks by Juan Gedeon, colors by Michael Atia, published by Dark Horse Comics.
Yes, and a cover, really lovely cover by Dan Dos Santos. I like the cover, although I'm kind of nonplussed by the logo. I find the logo to be kind of dull. The cover of Tomb Raider number one is pretty good, and I'm someone who has a hatred of Tomb Raider covers dating way
well
back
because the Tomb Raider covers that you and I are familiar with are from the old Top Cow series,
the Boobalicious ones.
Yeah, so this is based on the Tomb Raider video games, and I'm going to guess, because I haven't read, or I'm sorry, I haven't played the Tomb Raider video game, that it's based on the events that follow Lara's first adventure on the island that they keep referring to in here.
Did the Tomb Raider video game go through a full reboot?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So the logo that you're seeing on the cover is the logo for the video game.
Okay.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I guess it depends on in the context in which you're looking it on. Probably here it doesn't pop. I know on the cover of the video game series, it does stand out. I haven't bought it. I know a lot of my friends have picked up the game and played it, but I have not. So I'm rather lost into who a lot of these characters are. I know who Lara is. That's about it. So I don't know what's going on. You haven't played this game either, I'm guessing.
Well, I haven't played a Tomb Raider game since probably N64 days.
I was going to say PC for me was the last time I did it.
I don't know if it was on an N64.
I think it was all a PC game.
Of a time period when it would have been. I want to say my boss had one of the Tomb Raider games and let me play it. And she was like, yeah, this character's kind of obnoxious, but, you know, she's cool and... that's kind of nice. Most of what I know about Tomb Raider, I know third hand.
Hmm.
And it's all stories like,
you know, she's like the female Indiana Jones, right?
Yeah, I know that much. And people are like, the reason she exists is because somebody accidentally amped up the jiggle physics in the game.
Oh, like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that did happen in like the third or fourth PC version game.
Yeah. Which, you know, I suppose I'm fine with that. The thing that I do like about this story, it opens with, the first page is actually Lara wearing pants.
Yeah.
And dressed for, you know, actual Indiana Jones type stuff. And she's dirty and she's, you know, injured and she's bloody. And I'm not necessarily saying I want to see a young woman bloody and injured and dirty, but the things that Lara Croft does, she should not be doing in booty shorts and a crop top.
Gets hot in the desert.
Well, yeah. And I'm good with that. But she has cargo pants, to where she can, you know, carry things in her pockets, and she has her big, what is that, an axe?
Pickaxe, yeah.
A pickaxe to where she's able to... A piton?
I think it's called a pike. Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. I don't know.
Mountain gear.
Dude, our state is literally statistically flatter than a pancake. We know from mountain gear... No, please. We don't know nothing about nothing. And, of course, there's evil zombie guys covered in blood, which...
Ice axe, I guess.
A little bit off-putting, but
the zombie guys. She acts like they're real, and yet one of them's fully on fire. I was like, "Oh, hey, it's a Fantastic Four crossover."
It kind of is, and then she embeds her axe in one of their skulls, and I'm like, "Wow, that's wow!"
And the guy doesn't react. Come with us.
No.
They're coming to get you.
Artistically speaking, you know what this kind of reminds me of?
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You remember the Luna Brothers when they did the sword?
Yeah, a little bit.
There's
as far as the art style, yeah.
In the art style and the facial expressions for me.
Turns out this is all a dream.
A horrible dream.
Horrible, horrible dream. And her friend is having the same dream because she was also on the same island. Well, maybe a minute, the same dream. But terrible nightmares about the island. Whatever happened on the island, I guess you're going to have to play Tomb Raider, the Definitive Edition. And if you are going to go buy Tomb Raider, the Definitive Edition, use that Amazon.com link over at Majorspoilers.com. Click and buy away. You can get it on Xbox One or PS4.
Nice.
So there you go. So she's supposed to go and shoot a documentary about something. And she gets a call from one of her other shipmates that survived. She has to go out into the middle of the desert, and he's gone cuckoo loco.
Cuckoo loco. He's gone El Bonzo Seco, as they say.
Is that what they say?
That's what I say. I don't know if anybody else says.
Oh, okay.
Frankly, don't care. But the thing that I do enjoy about this is it does give us, basically, it gives us what we need to know. You know, Lara's sitting at her kitchen table looking at photographs of her friends, and all of her friends are there, and you see Jonah.
Yeah.
And Jonah is there, and he's the cook. He's clearly the cook. Mm-hmm. So when she goes looking for Jonah, you're like, okay, this is the guy who was the cook on her ship. And, you know, he's a large Samoan gentleman with tribal tattoos, and something weird is going on with him, and he tries to kill her. Makes sense. I'm down with that.
Yeah, wackadoo guy, that happens.
From a plotting perspective, it's a good issue. It's solid in terms of this happens, this makes sense why it happens. But I feel like without knowing something more, without knowing either what happens in the game or knowing, you know, what brings her to this point, I feel kind of isolated. It feels like it's very distant for me.
Yeah, I had a real hard time getting into the story because I'm like, so this happened on the island in the video game, which I haven't played, so I don't know the whole plot point and what trauma happened and why everybody died, if it was just because there was some supernatural aspect or was because there were other people on the island. I probably need to go find some gameplay videos up on the YouTube and watch those.
That's the kind of thing we could have done before the show. And then
no, not really, because the book came out today, and I don't have time to sit and watch 15 hours of gameplay videos.
And then there's a tidal wave.
Well, but before that, Jonah tells her about the four golden idols or the four golden pillars that she needs to find and put back before the Yakatori or whatever come and destroy the world.
The golden bale and the golden
straw. I don't know. This felt... whatever reason, I just felt a lot of religious undertones in this, like end of the world kind of seventh seal kind of thing going on.
I've always kind of, you know, felt that's part of Lara's kind of.
Is it? I can appreciate, you know, like Mayan end times or, you know, secret cult trying to destroy the world. But this just feels more like, you know, the end times are upon you, Laura, and that's why you're having these creepy dreams and all this other stuff and revelations, boo, kind of stuff going on. It was a creepy issue.
Feel to it, maybe.
Yeah, I just thought this was kind of a creepy issue.
It definitely is, and there's some moments to it that are really inexplicable, even on your second or third read through. Moments where you're like, okay, does that make sense if you've read the game or if you know more about the property? Because in and out of context, certain moments don't make any sense, regardless of what I'm looking at. You know, they're in basically what looks like Monument Valley, and then suddenly a tidal wave.
Well, but they make reference that that he's hiding out in the middle of the desert where there's no water except for that giant dam some 20 miles away or whatever. So
beware the four guardians.
The assumption is that the dam is broken.
Everything is wrapped in plastic.
Yeah, see? That's what I would do if I lived in the desert, because, man, sand gets everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you have kids, too. Kids get
everywhere. I would wrap them in plastic, too.
I'm walking away from that.
What do you think of Laura's slimmed down design beyond the lack of booty shorts and push-up bra?
Well, and she may still have a push-up bra. It's not like she is completely devoid of any secondary sexual characteristics in female form, but I like the fact that this is not a peekaboo book, because I think that was a big concern in previous incarnations. Was they had some good stories and they had some talented people working on them, but you know, when those books come in the store, they fall under the same purview as let's sell a whole bunch of these grim fairy tales or Penny for Your Souls. There's a place where I put them on the shelf, and Dion says, I'm going to give the booby books to Craig to sell on eBay. These are what my boss refers to as the booby books, and they always sell well. Don't get me wrong, but even if it's a wonderful story.
Tomb Raider from Top Cow is considered a booby book.
Oh, yeah.
In the same vein as the Zenoscope stuff is considered the booby books?
Not to the same degree.
Oh, okay.
But Tomb Raider and
Fathom. Witchblade.
And okay. A lot of those, Wonder Woman. You know, depends on the era. I mean, if you're looking at Deodato Wonder Woman around 1996, 97, yes.
What about all those Adam Hughes covers?
Depends on the book.
Oh, okay.
Again, Adam Hughes is one of those guys who kind of slides back and forth. But if you get to, say, your Eric Basuldua, or you get to maybe your Al Rio in his later period.
Yeah.
A book with, you know, those guys. Again, beautiful art. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. You know, it's not that. It's just that sometimes it feels like the cheesecake can overwhelm the story. And that doesn't happen here.
No, it doesn't.
Part of that is because of Laura's redesign.
So yeah, and she's 21 in this book, as opposed to, I think she was supposed to be in her late 20s, early 30s in the video games. I forget. It's been it's literally been, what has it been? Almost 20 years since I played a Tomb Raider game.
Stop talking like that. I do the math based on Angelina Jolie. She was about 27 when the movie came out, and so where I picture Lara Croft.
The story is somewhat creepy, and I like kind of that, like I said, supernatural horror aspect of it, as opposed to, you know, here's a bunch of thugs trying to pull a Die Hard heist kind of thing. So from the story perspective, I like it. I just wish I knew what had happened on the island. I wish I knew the bigger story of Tomb Raider. Now maybe I'll have to go buy the video game, since I have both an Xbox One and a PS4.
Yes, you keep.
Maybe our good friend Mark Spagnolo, the Wood Whisperer, will send me his copy if and when he finishes the game.
I just got my PS3.
It's the game's available on the PS3 too. I don't think it's the definitive collection, but it's whatever this version is.
LOD, and it cost me $50 to get my my PS3 back online. The yellow light of death.
Oh, is that what it is? Not a red circle of death? That's the Xbox.
Not a red ring of death. It's the yellow light on the PS3. Mm. Overheating. It's basically the same issue. But nonetheless, I think that, I do agree with you. It may be that I just don't have any type of emotional ties to the character or her adventures. But it's one of those books where I go, this is well written. This is well drawn. And I kind of didn't really get into it. I didn't feel like it drew me in.
You know what the problem is?
As a non-fan.
I think what would have made this better, and I guess it kind of happens at the beginning where she's at the dream sequence. But, you know, in the Tomb Raider and Indiana Jones franchises, always starts with some kind of adventure kind of thing. So you know that she's a Tomb Raider and some fisticuffs and some punchy punchies. And then it's like, and now I remember that event from, you know, blah, 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 blah. That doesn't happen here unless you're counting this horrific nightmare where her dead friends are trying to give her hugs as that kind of lead up thing.
It's not something where she's sitting in a diner and Shia LaBeouf comes up and goes, wait, you're my dad? No. That doesn't happen either.
No.
That's Indiana Jones joke. Although you have to admit that whole scene where they slid and laid the bike down in the library was pretty dynamic.
Did you just see this movie?
Yeah, like 3 days ago.
Really? Are you serious? Yes.
First time I ever saw Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I'm like,
oh man.
I can watch maybe this, because I came in at the point where they're having this big chase scene and there's like a statue of Marcus Brody, and I'm like, oh, Marcus Brody. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, no, it's stupid.
So here's my bottom line. I like Gail Simone a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, the last book of hers that I reviewed on Dueling Reviews, I didn't care for.
True.
This one, I like the writing a heck of a lot more. I like the characterization. I like the supernatural, well, not the supernatural, but I like the indie-timey kind of feel to this book.
Indie-timeys.
Yep. The only thing that I don't care for is I don't know what went on before. And unless that's going to be explained further for people who haven't played the video game, I'm going to be lost. For fans of the video game, man, you need to go pick up this book. Because if you want to know what happened next, this is apparently spells it all out for you. Now, you're not going to be clicking up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, A, B, start. But you're going to be sitting there clicking one page to another.
That reference is 45 years old. You understand that, right?
Everybody still knows it, though.
Contra Code is old school.
Yes, it is.
We're talking like Nintendo, man.
Nintendo.
They haven't made Nintendo in Zach's lifetime. Oh, dude.
But I say, if you are a fan of the Tomb Raider game and you want to know what happens after the incidents on that island, you need to go get this book. I think that there are some really cool moments in here. Yes. If you're wondering what happens to characters after, apparently we find out here. Well, we know what happened to at least three of them, Laura, her roommate, and Jonah.
And that guy who was on fire, we know what happened to him.
Well, yeah, he was apparently on fire and dead. So I say, if you've never played the video game, if you don't know anything about Lara Croft, you're not going to like this book.
I won't say you're not going to like it. I will say that your enjoyment is probably going to be muted. And I think what it comes down to is it's a good issue. It's a solid storytelling thing. But for me, there's not a whole lot of emotional stakes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, it depends on whether you can really get yourself hooked in Gale's story.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, yep. So what is your final recommendation on this?
I would say if you know you're a fan, it's a must have. If you don't think you're a fan, it's a maybe. You know, check it out. At the very least, you know, get it on. Is the Comixology version inexpensive?
No, it's not. Well, I don't know if this is Dark Horse Comics app. It's not through Comixology.
My bad.
So you are going to, I think I paid $2.99, $3.99, whatever that cost was. So, you're going to have to deal with that.
I won't say walk into your store and browse, maybe flip through the pages beforehand, because not all stores allow you to do that. But it's something that you may want to check into. It's not going to be everybody's, you know, bag of hammers, but it's definitely a well-done issue.
Cool. Yeah, neat. So that's Dark Horse Comics. Are you going to read the second issue? You have any interest in the second issue, or what's the deal there?
I will probably read the second issue because I expect that it'll come back across my desk. If we get a copy for back issue, and I'll be like, oh, I remember issue one, I'll read that again. So 3 months from now, I'll read issue two.
Did you go into the store and pick this up?
Yeah.
Do you know if it sold well in the store today? Because I've seen a lot of people excited about reviewing it.
It's
and
sold
talking
very
about
well
it
for a dark horse. Mm. But non-hero titles have kind of a thing. I mean, Gale's Red Sonja was kind of a heavy seller for us in that I think they ordered 15 and had to go back for more. So,
oh, really? Okay.
You know,
I do like what she's doing with Red Sonja, so.
We do have a particularly persnickety fan base, so, you know, 15 is good sales. 15 is not terrible by any means.
Okay. This week, Matthew, check this out. This is from Heritage Auction House. Very first Wolverine artwork not known to exist surfaces for auction at Heritage. The original artwork featuring the first ever appearance of Wolverine by artist Herb Trimpe on the final page of Incredible Hulk 180, arguably the most important debut of a comic book character in the last 40 years, has surfaced from the private hands where it has resided for more than 3 decades and will cross the auction block at Heritage Auctions on May 16th.
Wow, I wonder what that's going to sell for.
Well, you know, they do make some speculations.
Yeah.
Let's see if they have it in this article. Let's go to the Heritage Auction page and see.
Well, and I could have sworn that they thought that all of that early art was gone.
This was in a private collector's hands for 30 years.
Wow. 30 years. That would still put it back to 84. That would be easy.
Yep. Wow. They do not have. Oftentimes in these, they will. What is this? Sasquatch that the Hulk is punching?
Wendigo.
Oh, okay.
That first appearance is a battle with the Wendigo, and then Wolverine gets involved.
This is actually our autographed to Ben. Best wishes, Herb Trimpe.
Herb's one of those guys that I love because
Herb. I wonder who Ben is.
I don't know. Herb is, I presume Ben is the guy.
Well, that's probably the private collector, but it would be interesting to know who it is.
Herb is like Sal Buscema for me. He's one of those guys who was he was a workhorse.
Oh, here we go.
He drew professionally because he was a professional artist and he wasn't hoity-toity about his art. You would go in and you'd say, Herb, we want you to draw the Hulk and can you do it in 10 days? And Herb would say, okay. I love the fact that Herb drew so much and so few people are like, you know that great Herb Trimpe art? Jerks.
Yeah, it says in 1983 as a teenager, our co-signer was given the artwork by Trimpe. And it's remained in his possession ever since. Since he has not been an active collector, it was never known with certainty if this page ever existed until now.
83
yep.
would have been right at the beginning of Wolvermania. because 82 was the Miller limited series, and that thing blew up 84, 85.
So there you go, Matthew. I know that you're a big fan of that issue.
I am a fan of 181. Yeah.
The one after that.
I'm a fan of Herb. And the thing he really loves, if you look at that art, you can see what Herb Drimpy does, where the Hulk has an adorable button nose.
Yeah, yeah. Usually, though, they put something, usually they put something on here that says what they thought. Maybe I have to sign in, but usually they put in there what they expect the page to go for, but they don't have anything on there about that.
Could be thousands.
Well, yeah.
You think they'll hit seven figures?
On this? No way. Not on this page. You don't think so? No. They just had an auction a couple of weeks ago. Let me find it. Of the only known heritage auctions. They just had the auction a few weeks ago about the Superman cover. Earliest known Superman cover brings in $286,800 at the public auction. That was Action Comics number 15.
15
is the earliest known one.
I cannot say that I know anything about original art.
Yeah, so it's real. And this was graded at a 9.0 for this one, and it hit 286. Now, you know, there's still times where, you know, comic books, Amazing Fantasy and those kinds of things will hit six, seven figures easily, high six figures. You know, if you can find, you know, an Action Comics one, or if you can find Detective 27, Amazing Fantasy, even in medium condition, those usually hit $800,000, $900,000, and it's not uncommon for those to hit $1 million marks.
This is the first published appearance of Wolverine.
Yes.
This is a book where if you can find the book in, you know, decent near mint condition,
what is that, you're what is that going for?
$350, $400 maybe.
Okay.
I would say
so this is probably going to go about
probably close to $1,700 for 181.
$1,700
for one, if you get a mint condition copy of Hulk 181. You could probably go as high as 17. If you slab it, possibly, you know, it's kind of a here and there thing because those really high grade copies are so hard to find. We've had three or four 181s come through the store ranked between a 2.5 all the way up to a 5.
Mm.
The 2.5 sold for $200.
Okay.
So.
So I'm going to imagine that this page, if it's in good condition, it will probably go for probably $10,000 to $25,000. A Superman number one graded at a 2.0 is valued at $35,000. And this last auction that they had, this is the actual issue itself.
Oh, okay.
The cover that I was mentioning a moment ago was the actual art cover for Action Comics number 15 that went for that much money. $286,000 in public auction.
That's a lot of money.
Yep. Amazing Fantasy 15, Spider-Man's first appearance, which brought in $191,000.
Amazing Spider-Man. See, I think that Wolverine is...
Think he's more popular than Superman or Spider-Man?
No, but I think that he is now considered to be of a par. And I think fans looking for this issue, I would not be surprised to see $50,000 for the first published appearance of Wolverine.
Man, I don't know. Art is so... I think it's harder to speculate on that because it really gets into how bad does somebody want it. You know, the difference with you know, the actual copy... The actual book, 180 or 181, 180, is that there's still lots of those floating around. With the original art, it's only one piece of art. And if you really want it, the bidding's going to continue. It's not like there's going to be another page that comes up. Chance. Yeah. So, you know, bidding can go high, but I'm still 25,000 tops is going to be
I love the looking at the page. I love the sound effects. Kadow, for top.
Oh, I thought lock. It was. Oh, yeah. And then, hey, bub, schnickety schnick.
Snickety. He doesn't say bub or schnickety schnick.
You sure? I thought that was his thing.
Wolverine's claws were not retractable until well into.
So they were always hanging out? Were they always hanging out?
Run. Yeah.
Really? That would have been uncomfortable when you had to go wipe.
Well, into the John Byrne run of X-Men before somebody actually.
So how did he eat? How did he shake hands?
Rudely. Ask me how he smells. Terrible.
It's a good thing they never talk about things like how do superheroes go to the bathroom when you have giant claws on your hand.
I love the kitty cat whiskers.
Yeah.
You know the story. I've told the story of why his mask changed.
Because it looked too kitty cat.
Giant size X-Men number one, Gilbert Kane, one of the giants of our industry, one of the men that everyone should know. Gil Kane drew giant size number one, and he drew the mask wrong.
Mm.
And it's one of those moments where if Gil Kane draws your mask wrong, that's what you look like from now on.
Yeah.
And from that point forward, Wolverine had the more Batman era mask, which actually is pretty striking. And it's got that nose piece and everything. But, you know, it's just one of those wonderful moments where Gil had drawn the issue without enough reference to do Wolverine's mask the way it had been previously drawn.
Yeah.
And so he came up with a design that was slightly tweaked. And to this day, that's pretty much the design you'll see in Wolverine.
Cool. Next week from Dark Horse Comics, we've got Bad Blood number 3. Buffy the Vampire Slayer season 9 trade paperback hits. Catalyst Comics number 9. I've got that Eve source book already. Hardcover there for Eve fans. Nice. Juice Squeezers number 3. Lobster Johnson Get the Lobster number 2.
Get the Lobster.
Vale number 1, which Rodrigo that reviewed this week? Sounds interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. And then over at DC Comics, it's the 29 issues. We've got Action Comics, Batwing, Detective Comics.
Batwing is still being published?
Yeah, I have not ever read the book. I never even read it in an issue 1. Not a fan of the character from the little that I have skipped through here and there. But, you know, some other Bat books get canceled. This one continues going on. And, you know, he is the Batman for all of Africa. For all of Africa, not just a country in Africa, but the whole continent of Africa.
Well, I love the fact that he had the costume of the swinging 70s bad Batman from Batman 250, but they've changed that.
Green Lantern is a number 29 next week. Mm-hmm. Who else is a 29 next week?
Green Lantern.
Swamp Thing.
Any annuals or anything?
Annuals next week from DC include... Nothing. A couple of trade paperbacks. They do have
nothing, and also
they have Earth number 2.
So
well, they do have Ferris number 24.
Ferris?
Ferris.
Bueller?
Bueller? Anyone? IDW Bueller. Publishing has Gateway number 3, G.I. Joe Cobra Files trade paperback volume 2, Powerpuff Girls Classic, Rogue Trooper number 1, Sinister Dexter number 4.
Rogue Trooper.
Sinister Dexter, I'm sorry. Wild Blue Yonder, number 4. Over at Image Comics, they have Burn the Orphanage, Born to Lose, number 3. Clone, number 15. Dead Body Road, number 2. That's a second printing from that. Jupiter's Legacy, number 2. Manifest Destiny, number 1. Satellite Sam, the first trade paperback, comes out. Starlight, number 1. I don't know what that's about, but it's got a Cassidy cover.
Oh, cool.
Walking Dead trade paperback number 20, All Out War Part 1.
Mm.
Marvel Comics has Avengers IO. Oh, I'm sorry, that's 10.
Yes. AIIO.
Yes.
R-R, I like that.
Captain America number 18, Unumum.
Isn't he getting relaunched?
Probably. I know they've got that Winter Soldier storyline going on.
Well, it's interesting. Marvel's current trade dress with the all-new Marvel Now actually puts big number ones in the upper right-hand corner of books that aren't number ones.
Huh.
And it's number one of a new arc. Avengers 24 has a big number one.
I've noticed in the stuff that Marvel sends us, it'll be like Captain America number 18.now.
Yes.
Is the way it's.
That basically means it's now, new now.
Ooh, here's what we should review next week. There's two books we can review next week.
Okay.
We can either review Magneto number 1, only Magneto. Marvel Now, Or we can review Moon Knigget, number one, All New Marvel Now.
Well, someone has called Moon Knigget.
Oh, okay.
So Magneto sounds like a winner.
I was hoping for Moon Knight.
Magneto.
I was hoping for Moon Knight.
Well, you do love Batman.
Yep, exactly.
There's nothing quite like Batman.
Speaking of Batman, Punisher number 3 comes out next week, as does She-Hulk number 2.
Wait, how is Punisher, speaking of Batman?
Oh, I'm talking about people Batman could defeat. Punisher and She-Hulk both come out next week.
She-Hulk would crush Batman.
Wolverine and X-Men number 1 comes out next week.
Ew.
As does a hardcover collection of X-Men Days of Future Past.
Ooh, I do want to see that.
For $39.99. We've already read
I've heard there's a movie.
Yeah, apparently. Afterlife with Archie number 4 and it comes out next week. Cannot wait to read that.
Oh, I do want to see that. Is the Professor and Marianne in the Rest?
Yes, and the Rest. Adventure Time number 18, Black Coat, graphic novel Blackest Dye.
Ooh.
No idea what that's about. It's a $12.99 book. Daymen number 1, Death Sentence number 3, Dragon Ball 3-in-1. Evil Empire number 1.
I had Dragon Ball 3-in-1 in college. I had to take shots for that.
Serves you right. Garfield number 23. Grim Fairy Tales Code Red number 4. Grim Fairy Tales Tales number 95.
Midnight. Grim Fairy Tales Livewire.
Hit List number 5. Lady Rawhide number 4. Miss Fury number 9. No Gold Digger next week.
Well, I ain't saying she's a gold digger.
Noir number 5, Pokemon Adventures Black and White Graphic Novel number 3, Pokemon Adventures Graphic Novel Volume 21, Ruby Sapphire. That's a $9.99 book.
Ruby Sapphire.
Quantum and Woody Goat number 0, Matthew.
Both of those titles sound like adult film stars.
Rover Red Charlie number 4.
What's that about?
I don't know. Rover Red Charlie. Sounds like a war story.
It does.
Shadow Now, number 5.
No.
Simon and Kirby Hardcover Library Horror, $49.95.
Oh.
Suicide Risk, number 11. What else? We have Turok Dinosaur Hunter, number 2. Twilight Zone, number 3. Warlord of Mars, number 34. Westward, number 6. World of Archie Double Digest, number 37. Those are some of the books coming out next week. Looks like we're hitting Magneto or Magneto.
It is Magneto.
I know. I'm just poking fun at another comic review site where the guy insists it's Magneto. It's Magneto because it's Magnet. I'm not going to poke fun at people. If people listen to other podcasts in the comic book realm,
you can pronounce it Magneto if you want, and that's perfectly legit. But here's the thing.
Oh, his argument is Magnet. You say Magnet.
Magneto is a word. It is an existing English word with a pronunciation.
Yeah, it's in part of a dynamo.
Exactly. So you cannot say, well, Magnet is a word, so it's Magneto. Pronounce it stupid if you want, but don't try and logic it up.
Well, that's why people also argue over Thanos or Thanos.
It is Thanos.
And they argue over Iron Man or Iron Mon.
Well, and people don't want to put the hyphen in Spider-Man. But Spider-Man's name is hyphen capital M Man.
Spider-Man.
Iron Man, all is one word. Iron Man, no. He's not Iron Man. He's not Moisha Iron Man.
Are you sure?
Yes, I know he's not Moisha Iron Man because I grew up with Moisha Iron Man.
What are some other names that people?
Moisha Iron Man is actually a gynecologist.
What are some other names that people often?
Wonder Woman, two words capitalized.
No, not the separation of words, but the Magneto.
Oh, the ones they mispronounce.
Yeah.
Oh, there's quite a few of them. There's Quicksilver.
No, seriously.
There's a big one that I can't think of right off the top of my head now, and one that I know I've had the discussion a number of times is, Elongated Man.
Yeah, what's wrong with Elongated Man?
I've heard so many different enunciations. Elongated Man was my favorite.
Well, that's just wrong.
Yes, and Dr. Celia Reyes from the X-Men, one of my colleagues refers to her as Dr. Cecilia Ross, which I think is kind of funny.
Okay.
Let's see. There's Wolvarin. See, it's one of those things where if I weren't actually on the show right now, I would have a dozen of these at the tip of my tongue. And right now I can't think of any.
I like to call Lando Calrissian Landau.
Yeah, Martin Landau Calrissian.
Martin Landau Calrissian. You'll hear me talk about that on an upcoming in March's bonus tracks, because we sit down on bonus tracks in March and we review Empire Strikes Back for our Major Spoilers VIPs. If you want to get that bonus tracks, all you need to do is head over to members.majorspoilers.com, sign up for either a silver or gold membership, and you'll get a bonus tracks plus a bunch of other stuff that's on the site, some behind the scenes stuff. I've got something. Someone was asking, Steven, did you buy new equipment in your studio because your voice suddenly sounds a lot different than it did? No. And I'm thinking of putting up an article up on the members only site about what I did to tweak that, as well as a tour of our audio facility and a lot more. Members.majorspoilers.com.
You know what? One that we should be thinking of.
Which is what?
DC Comics, chain-smoking English paranormal investigator.
Oh, Constantine and Constantine.
Constantine, yeah. Yes. Like the Emperor rather than Constantine. Like, oh, whoa, I'm Keanu Reeves. Whoa.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one. I'm sure everybody was screaming at us during that little plug for members. Ah, it's Constantine. How come you guys didn't say Constantine?
Well, I did. And Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine.
Oh, dearie, dearie.
All right, everybody. I think we need to get out of here.
Matter Eater Lad, by the way, in the Archie Legion, should have been called Omniphage.
Why is that?
Because we had Alchemist, and we had, what was Sun Boy's name? Inferno.
Hmm.
Matter Eater Lad should have become Omniphage, and Bouncing Boy should have become Ricochet, because it would have fit. And then they could just go out there, and we are like, well, I am Matter Eater Lad. But you can call me Constantine. Whoa. I know Kung Fu.
Okay. That will wrap it up for this installment of Dueling Reviews. Thank you for downloading. Whoa. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the Major Spoilers experience, which includes Dueling Reviews, the show you're just listening to. Indeed. As well as a bunch of other podcasts in the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. We've got Critical Hit. We've got Major Spoilers. We've got Zach on Film. We've got The Want List. We've got Munchkin Land. We've also got Wayne's Comics and The Magic Minute. Those are just, you know, again, this is all part of the Major Spoilers experience. That's the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. We've got the website, majorspoilers.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at Major Spoilers. Check out our Facebook page. Matthew, where can people find you on Twitter?
At Mighty King Cobra. Just look for the pictures of pretty girls and you'll get there eventually.
Yeah. All right, everybody. That wraps it up for this installment. Thank you for everyone who has supported us over the years. And thank you to all of our sponsors, whether they be on the site or on our shows or wherever they may be. If you have questions about sponsoring, just contact us. podcast@majorspoilers.com. And until next time, just remember, Matthew is never not right.
Wait, was that a double negative?
Maybe not. Maybe
never,
so.
Don't underestimate how Stephen may not be correct in his incorrectness.
See, there again, you're not right again.
I am never not right.
No, not never.
No, not you.
You're not never right.
Okay, whatever you say.
And I'm right. Good night.
Steven's wrong.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.